Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
I've got 11:15, so I think it's time to start. Everybody left. Let me pray for us as we start, Father. If you bow with me. Lord, we lift this time up to you. We ask, Father, that you would be our teacher. The Holy Spirit would come and teach us what we need to know, Father, from your word. That we would enjoy each other's company and that we would encourage one another. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, the topic is children and parents. Gibby, would you come help me, please? Yeah, give some to this side and some to this side. Thank you. You might have to just give him some for the row, and then he'll pass them down. How about that? Give him several for the row and let him pass them down. When I read a little bit in this book that we're using, that Paul gave me to use, I read the topic about children and parents, and the possible material you could cover is overwhelming. I guess that's why there's all those books in the bookstores about parents and parenting and children. So, we had the choice of either trying to cover a lot of material or just choosing to cover a little bit of material a little more thoroughly. And I'm choosing the second course. I prefer to think that I'm going to learn something rather than just that I was exposed to something to a great extent. So I will, in the handout, if you start with the side that says children and parents, I do want to cover a few principles. I think for this audience, I'm assuming that most of us have been exposed to teaching about what the Bible says about parents and children and so forth. A lot of the things have to do with the what we're supposed to do and why are we supposed to do it and how are we supposed to do it. So today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about the who. We're going to talk about the who we are, what we're supposed to be, not necessarily how to parent. So I'm not going to lecture on spanking or anything like that. We're not going to do that today. But at the top of the outline, I just pulled a few of the points from the book as kind of a basic background on some of the principles of parenting. Children are born with foolishness in their hearts. I hope nobody's surprised by that. Children are not born perfect and then they learn to sin. They are born as sinners, wanting their own way. Children also need discipline. And the Bible says that if parents love their children, that we'll provide discipline. Also, really, if we love others, we'll discipline our children because our children have a great impact on other people's lives as well. So we might be okay with a spoiled little child, but the person sitting next to them may not be. So it's also a reflection of our love for others that we discipline our children. When we fail to discipline children, the Lord often has to discipline us. There was a nice quote in here, if I can find it real quickly. This was a quote from this book, a man in another book, named Bob Beasley. But his quote is, "The book of Proverbs consistently repeats a warning to parents. Something will be broken in your home, either your child's will or your heart. The stripes from the rod of correction will either land on your child's rear end or on your own. If it's the latter, then both you and your child will feel the pain." I think that's a good point for parents to remember. We live in a culture that says, you know, our children just come as little perfect people, and if we're good enough parents, then we won't really have to discipline them and things like that. And that's not what the Bible teaches. And when you see the fruit in other people's lives who have maybe bought into that system, and you see the children and the fruit in their lives, not to judge them, but just to say, that's not the fruit that any of us really want to see in our lives. When we withhold discipline, we reap a growth in foolishness. And when they're little, some of that foolishness can be cute. When they get older, it's no longer cute. And so that's the call of the Scripture to us as parents, is if we love our children, we love people who are going to interact with our children during their lives, we will discipline them. In light of that, though, we also have to recognize as parents, we're sinners. And we're in desperate need of God to enable us to discipline our children and to direct them and control them. That we have not reached the point where we are adults finished and our children, we're trying to bring them up to be like us. The standard is beyond what we have achieved, and we're always pointing our children to a standard that they are going to follow our example, but we don't want them to quit with our weaknesses as well. When we apply discipline as well, it's to be applied in a way that produces correction. The purpose of discipline is to correct us, not to punish us. When God deals with us, He disciplines us for the purpose of correcting us, to encourage us to do something we should and to keep us from doing something that we shouldn't. And with our children, that's the purpose of discipline as well. It's not, you did this, now I'm going to give you this. That's punishment. Correction is to point someone in the direction that they are to go. And that's what as parents we're called to do in Scripture through discipline. And the last just general principle from the book was that I pulled was that parents are God's representative in children's lives. We need to recognize a sober calling that is that particularly when our children are young, they see us as the authority figure. And as we transfer that to, well, really your ultimate authority figure is God, then we have been a representative of that in their lives. And we should remember that at all times, to our little children in particular, we are God. I don't say that in a blasphemous way, but just we are that authority figure. And they look to us, when we talk about God the Father, what does a father look like? Well, he must be kind of like my daddy. And that's a responsibility we have that God gives us to be his representative in our children's lives. So as I said today, I'm going to focus on relationships as it has to do with parenting. There is a lot in Scripture that talks about how we do things and why we do things and what do we do as parents and what do we do as children. But I'm going to focus on it just from this aspect more of who we are to be as parents and who children are to be. Because as far as I know, all of us in here are children as well as being parents. And so the two things on this front page I want to talk about, and then we're going to kind of do some discussion. First is talking about parent relationships, just a little refresher here, remembering that God is the father of those of us who are parents, or who will be parents someday. God is also the father of our children. Those relationships are there, that God has established those relationships. And then he's given us a special privilege as parents to also be a parent to our child or to our children. That is all, though, under the sense that God is the father. God is the parent figure, really, for us as parents and for our children. And as our children move through life, they start off with us being the primary influence, as I said. And as parents, our goal is for the influence of God as parent in their life to increase as our influence decreases. So my mother is still somewhat of an influence in my life, but she was much more of a parent influence in my life when I was 6 months old or three years old. But so as a parent, it's not just that that happens to us and we, kicking and screaming, give up control of our children as they get older. It should be that we are trying to move our children where they recognize more and more that God is the ultimate parent. God the Father is the parent in their life. And as our influence decreases, God's influence in their life should increase as ours decreases. So that's kind of the goal of us as parents. Then I want to relate that to the idea of heart relationships. The fact that God first loved us and desires our wholehearted love is real clear from Scripture. And again, I'm not going through proof texting all this. If you feel like I'm saying something wrong, you can discuss it afterwards or tell me during the discussion time. But I wanted to focus our time on these broad principles and then spend some time on some practical things that I think can really help us in improving our heart relationships with one another and with God. A parent is also called to have a wholehearted love for God. We cannot be a good parent without a wholehearted love for God. because the standard God calls us to as parents is to do things that we don't have the ability to do. We don't have the wisdom to do that. Every one of our children are different. The only people that think they know how to parent have only had none or one child. Once you get past one, you realize, I don't know how to do this. Because God makes them different. You say, why are they so different? God makes them that way. And I think part of it is because we are to be humble enough to acknowledge we don't have all the answers. It's amazing how many people write books about parenting that didn't have any. Throw them away. They don't know what they're talking about. Okay? But as a parent, we need a wholehearted love for God so that we are raising our children as God calls us to, and so that He can enable us to do it. We also, and this is the part that I want to spend a little more time maybe challenging you on, because I don't think this is talked about enough within the church and outside the church, is how important it is as parents that we seek the hearts of our children, that we have their hearts. We might have their physical presence. We might know what they're interested in. We might even have their respect and obedience. But if we don't have their hearts, we don't have the ability or near the ability that we would like to have to influence them to give their hearts to the Lord. Because our hearts, as the Scripture talks about it, are so important. It's all about our hearts, what's in our hearts, what flows out of our hearts, what we allow to go into our hearts. And so as parents, I feel like what God calls us to do is win our children's hearts. We want their hearts. We recognize our own imperfections. I'm not a perfect parent, and I don't want my children to turn out exactly like me. I don't want them to have the same weaknesses that I do. But the things that God has shown me that I do want to instill in their lives, the only way I have an opportunity to do that is if I have their heart. Because I cannot get through a rebellious child's heart to have a big influence on them. I can discipline them, I can do those other things. So I want to talk about the concept of us being heart winners, that that's really what we're trying to do. Because ultimately we want our children, and I say this to all of us who are children, we should be giving our hearts to our parents. God has entrusted our parents with responsibilities in our lives. And many of us, as we get older, we have parents who laid down their lives for us when we were young. And they get to a point where they have needs. And it's our opportunity, it's our turn to invest in our parents' lives. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who was delivering some lumber for us and moved home to take care of his mother because none of his other siblings would want to have anything to do with it. His mother had health issues. He was moving home to take care of his mother. That's an example of tenderness and giving your heart. Again, I don't know all the circumstances there, but giving our hearts to our parents would involve something that we do. It's not just a feeling type thing. So kind of just all that wrapped up in the heart relationships are actually a lot more complicated than just the parent relationships. The parents are God to me, God to my children, me to my children. But the heart relationships go back and forth and are interrelated. And I want to talk about this on the back side. I want to talk about another acrostic that we did. I think it came out on most people's. Does everybody have an acrostic on the back? My copy didn't have it come out. Do we have an extra that I... Oh, thank you, Mike. There's some right there. I want to talk about the concept of being a heart winner. We have used this in our family some. We've discussed this at other times. Because this has to do with who we are. This is not instructions on necessarily what we do. There's lots of books written on that. This has to do with who we are. And I want to talk about it from the perspective of, if you're a parent, or think about it from a parent's perspective, how can I be this way to win the heart of my children? If you're a child, think about how this impacts your relationship and giving your heart to your parent. So this works both ways, and that's what we're going to discuss about when we break up in small groups in a minute. But let me just review this acrostic with you, because I think that there are some things in that left column that maybe we can use as diagnostic tools. And the way that this works, the way we use this, I use this, and every time I remember to review this in my mind, I'm convicted. Because whether I'm thinking about my relationship with Wendy or this conversation I just had with one of my children, if I say, was I humble, encouraging, available, reliable, and tender? I usually have failed on at least one of those, okay, in that relationship. So I'm going to encourage you to think about these where you can carry them around in your head. And as you just had a conversation with somebody or you're about to go into a conversation with somebody, that you can just kind of run through these points and allow God to show you what in your heart needs some adjustment, either before or after. The first point is that who we should be to be a heart winner is humble. There's scripture over there, but the idea is I don't have all the answers. God does. So whether I'm looking at it as being a parent or a child, if I have pride in my life, I'm not winning a heart. None of us wants to be around somebody who's prideful. We just don't like it. So if you want to win the heart of your child, or you want to be a child who is honoring your parents, you will be humble. In that column, it says some warning signs. If you have quarrels or arguing or obvious selfishness or lack of peace, there could be a pride issue involved in that relationship. The second point is encouraging. Some parents, like me, I'm real good at encouraging my children to stop doing something wrong. I'm not as encouraging on things they're doing well. And so this encouragement has to do with recognizing the incredible power of our tongues, the scripture talks about. That most of us probably have one point in our life we can remember back when somebody said something to us about the way we looked or there was something like that, and it stuck. It stuck in our heart and it's still there. We can bring it back up. Well, the power of the tongue that God gave us is just incredible. And it can be used for incredible good. If you see happy, content children, you usually have an encouraging parent. If you don't have an encouraging parent, you'll rarely see happy, cheerful children. Because we're going to be seeking that affirmation, that encouragement, as adults and as children. If you see parents who are all the time walking around worried and discouraged and concerned, they probably don't have encouraging children either. Probably don't have children just come and say, yeah, I really appreciate you doing that for me, Mom, and really appreciate you doing that, Dad. But again, it cuts both ways. You know, as I say that, I can think, okay, so what's the last encouraging thing I said to such and such a person? But we know it's important, and I guess that's why I'm pointing this out here. When we talk about parent-child relationships, encouragement is probably one of the key elements that doesn't get very much attention in our culture and even in the church, because we're so concerned with having holy children that we're real good at finding where we're not holy and pointing it out and correcting it. The third point is being available. We live in a busy world. And one of the challenges we have as parents is being available. I struggle with this daily. You know, I have children, and I have children who want to tell me this long, drawn-out story about this bug. And I'm thinking about all the things that I need to be doing. And so even when I'm with them, I'm not with them sometimes. My brain is off somewhere else, and I'm listening, but I'm not really listening. Don't give me a quiz on the details about that story. But if we want to win the hearts of our children, they would know that if they need us, we're there, that we're going to be available. You know, the people in your life that you've met that you would consider good friends, you would know if you needed them, they'd be there. And as parents, we need our children to know that we'll be there if they need us. And children, again, it works the same way, just like the gentleman I was talking to yesterday. It needs to work the other way. Children need to be available to their parents when their parents need them. That's part of this love issue. The fourth point is being reliable. Well, I did say on the encouraging and available, this warning signs, you can read those. But I think those are kind of helpful. When we see some of those symptoms in our relationship, we can maybe go back and look at what's going on there. But the concept of reliable, again, this is like true confessions up here. How many times have I told my child, I'll be there, just a minute, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll be there to do that with you today. And I didn't do it. Yeah, I didn't do it. It wasn't because I purposely said I'm going to break my word, but I just got busy and did something else. Well, if I want to win the hearts of my children, they should be able to trust that when Dad says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And I desire that, and sometimes I do that, and sometimes I don't. And yet, if I want the hearts of my children, they should be able to trust me. I should be reliable. They can count on Dad. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And again, the same thing with my children. When I ask them to do something, I want to be able to trust that they'll do it. There's a reliability there. And their heart toward me, I sense that as being a reflection of, have they given their heart to me? If I've asked them to do something, they had something else they wanted to do. But I can trust that if I give it to them that they'll do it. They're reliable. And I feel like, I feel honored. I feel respected by my children. I feel loved by my children when I can count on them to do what I ask them to do. And again, I think you can think about that in the relationships you have with parents and children and others. You could probably say the same thing. If this person is trustworthy to me, if they tell me they'll do something, I know they'll do it. There's an issue of the heart there. The last one is being tender. I've seen this be much more of a problem with men that I've known in my life, including myself, that I can get the facts straight and I can point out to my children something factual about what they did that was wrong. But I can also do it in such a way that I crush their heart. I can be right and do it in a harmful way. Another example would be, again, you have the little child coming to you talking about the bugs or this thing or this whatever happened. For that brief instant, their heart just kind of like a flower, just kind of open up to you. Here I am. This is me. This is my life. This is what's the most important thing to me right now. And when I just blow them off, you know, I just picked that flower and just tossed it. I was not tender. We value the Lord being so tender with us. When we're caught in transgression and we know we've messed up, we don't see in Scripture a God who says, yes, absolutely you're wrong, disgusting, terrible, get out of here. We see a God who's tender. And as parents or as children, again, I think of from a children's standpoint, I've seen young men who are twice as big as me, football players, walk up to their little mom in front of all their friends and give her a hug. Okay, there's a tenderness in that that shows a heart attitude that, you know, it just makes me want to cry. Because you see so much false machoism and so forth, that tenderness is, that's for silly wimp people. Tenderness is what Scripture says God has in His heart for us. You read the Psalms and you read heart cries, you know, from David and others to God. And so I would say that if we want to win the hearts of our children, when my children come to me with something that's on their heart, you know, I would particularly encourage men in this because I can speak from experience that I ask myself, am I tender? Am I taking that fragile heart that's open to me this very second? And am I being tender with it? Am I being worthy of the trust that's been given to me when they open up their hearts to me? So, again, how we can use this acrostic in our lives is just to think in my relationships, whether I'm as parent to child in particular, because I think that's who I really wanted to address this to, but also as child to parent, in my relationships, in my conversations, am I humble, encouraging, available, reliable, and tender? That's not an exhaustive list, but it's very helpful. And I think that, again, for us and our family, we've seen that it's rare that we can run through that list in our minds and not have at least one of those say, No, I wasn't in that conversation. So the goal here as we look at parents and children is to try to come up with some practical examples of what this would look like in our lives. So again, because our time is short in these sessions, we're just going to follow the same format we did before, which is to divide up into groups, each group take one of these, talk about some examples that you could share with the group. What would this look like? Let's apply this. What would humility look like? And what I'd like each group to do is come up with at least one example of it going either way, from the parent to the child, or from the child to the parent. Does that make sense? So I want you in your group to discuss this character quality, which is really what these are. Say, what would this look like in a parent-to-child relationship? And what would this look like in a child-to-parent relationship? And then we'll get back together and just kind of discuss the examples and see if that encourages us maybe in some areas that we hadn't thought about before. So I need five groups. This is always hard. Five is an uneven number. You didn't know that. We'll take this. There's kind of a gap right there. We'll take that group there and take those folks back there as a second group. You've got the H. You've got the E. We'll take from Rob, that row on back, Paul. And we'll take, you guys have the A. And we'll take, let's do it this way. Kathy, if yours and my older one's behind you, and then we'll let Stan and Debbie and Wendy, you can come up in these chairs and with Mary and Mary Carol, and you guys have the T. Is that all right? Clear what we're doing? We're just talking about examples. If somebody wants to do skits, hey, those are great. But mainly we're just talking about examples here. We'll take about 15 minutes to do that. Okay. We need to stop so that we have time to share. Let's start with the H group over here. What did y'all come up with? Who's a spokesperson?
From a parent to a child, the willingness to admit an error, a mistake, or a sin and ask for forgiveness or whatever is appropriate. So humility and will help build a heart relationship in that direction. And from a child to a parent is the willingness or even the desire to ask for advice rather than having reached a certain age saying, you know what, I can do this on my own now. I don't want this advice. But being able and being humble and approaching a parent for advice.
Good. Very good. Thank you. What about the encouragement group? Good, thank you. What about the available group?
As think in a bigger, broader picture, we want them to be patient as we try to understand their world and to be available to us to communicate that world, as opposed to shutting themselves off or, well, you just don't understand. You were never a teenager. You don't know what that's like. But to be patient and available to us to communicate things that are going on in their hearts and be willing to do the hard work of helping us to understand where they're coming from would be a real help.
About this group over here, Kathy.
You talked about reliability, how being able to trust one another, which can be reliable, shows that you have each other's hearts, because if you can ask somebody to do something, or if the parent can ask the child to do something, and the child is reliable, then it shows that they're doing it from their heart, and not just because their parents are around. Daddy gives a chore to Ethan to do the next day, and then that he can trust that Ethan will do that because Ethan wants to please his father. And then it also frees up people that you don't have to keep checking up, or the child doesn't keep doubting that their parents are going to do something they said that they were going to do with him the next day. That it frees them up in their relationship, because they have trust in that other person. Which
they have. That's good. Stan, you're going to be the spokesperson for this group.
We talked about tenderness, and I think one of the things that came out just as we were talking about examples, that tenderness is very similar to empathy, where we really enter into the sufferings or the feelings that the other person has. And we also talk about how sometimes a child, if someone gets hurt, a child can just stand back and just watch that, like, oh, that's interesting. Instead of comforting. A couple of specific examples we talked about were a parent showing tenderness in the process of discipline, if you spank a child, that in that process, even though the child may, the spanking may communicate without words, may communicate dissonance, but you can reassure that child and tell them you love them, and that your spanking is not because you're trying to push them away, but because you actually love them, you're trying to do the good. And then for children, sometimes they do need to be taught to be compassionate toward others when someone else has been hurt or something like that, when either one of the parents or a sibling or a friend or something like that, then they need to, some of them just very more naturally express that or feel that, but others may have to be walked through to learn to express, to say, I understand what it feels like to get hurt, and I'm going to enter into that. I want to try to comfort you. And one of the things that we talked about is how there's a tendency sometimes for the child, if your sibling is hurt, lying there crying, and mom comes into the room, what happened? And they say, I didn't do it. their first reaction is not to enter in and say, I'm sorry that this happened, but to just defend themselves. And so they need to be taught to where the first concern is the comfort of whoever it is that's hurt. And I think our parents can learn from that by not coming in, first of all, as the judge, but as the medic, which I'm guilty of sometimes. I'm going to render judgment before I render medical assistance.
That was all good. These character qualities that have to do with our relationships, they really can apply to all our relationships. They're particularly, I think, so to parent and child, but sibling relationships, brother and sister, other relationships we have as well. There's a situation here, too, where when you talk about the whole broad topic of children and parenting and everything else, there is so much information that people make available to us now. It's just overwhelming, and you'll have people tell you, this is how you do it, and this is how you do it, and this is how you do it. I guess my encouragement to us is that we recognize that Scripture talks an awful lot about who we are. A lot of the how do you do it is left to wisdom that God will give us at the time. So if we have all the formulas on being a parent or being a children, but we don't have the right heart, it's not going to work. If we have the right heart, a lot of the other will take care of itself. If with my children today, I could be humble, encouraging, available to them as needed, reliable, and tender-hearted, a lot of that other stuff would take care of itself. So in terms of what we should focus on if we want to be better parents, what we should focus on if we want to be better children, if we focus on these heart issues, I'd say a lot of the other stuff will take care of itself. And so I kind of leave you with that thought. Let me pray for us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your kindness to us as being the ultimate model for us as a father. And we thank you for the ultimate model of a child through your son, Jesus. We know, Father, that those are standards we can't attain in our own strength. But we thank you that you promise that the good work you began in us, you'll be faithful to complete it. And that the needs that we have, Father, you will be faithful to provide for them. So we ask you to help us be better parents, to help us be better children, to have hearts, Father, that are given to you, that are given to each other, that are evidenced, Father, in the humility, encouragement, availability, reliability, and tenderheartedness that we show. We know, Father, that you can do it through us and that we can't do it without it. So we ask you to, this coming week, Father, to help us be more mindful of these things. And we ask, Father, that you would be glorified through the improved relationships we have within a family and outside of our family. And that just as we, Father, love to be around someone who exhibits these qualities, help us to be that kind of person in other people's lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.